Thank you, Pastor Ness. I don't know about you, but I feel like we've already had the word. This Holy Spirit is here. You know, amen. You know, David said, I will trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Hallelujah. We heard some testimonies this morning, some stories. Pastor Shirley opened up beautifully for us. That was touching, that word there. How many of us have gone through things and we've come through? Only by the mercy of God. Nothing else. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It's not through our righteousness. We're just like filthy rags to Almighty God. Hallelujah. This morning we came here. I was blessed. I saw Phil, 9:30, bounded in with some energy. Anybody know Phil? You know Phil, you have to hold him down. And I said, Phil, you look like David. And he's saying, where is the uncircumcised Philistine? I look like you were looking for your sword to chop off his head. That's energy. It's so infectious. Yeah, he's amazing. Thank you, Phil. And some of the things that people do, you know, we don't see them. We're in the background. So we appreciate you, brother, just for your energy alone. Hallelujah. So, yeah, this morning we're going to meditate a little bit on the enduring mercy of God. Hallelujah. The attributes of God are wonderful, aren't they? And one of the ones I love the most is the mercy of God. Where would we be without the mercy of God? The things that we've been through. I saw Brother Tony this morning for the first time in 2 weeks, having overcome what he overcome. Many of you spoke earlier on. Pastor Shirley was unwell for a number of weeks, one thing after another. And it's only the mercy of God that brings us through. Every morning I wake up, I said, I'm still here. I'm breathing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Give thanks every morning. Last week, Brother Fuma very eloquently and powerfully spoke about the, he spoke about Sam's previous word about where is our faith in God, and he talked about the intimate relationship with God. And one scripture he spoke, where's the clicker? I can't see it anywhere. Is anyone going? One scripture he quoted was, thank you, Pastor Dennis, was from Matthew, and he said, when the disciples were on the waters and it was stormy, I think it's Matthew 8, verse 27, he said, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him? And this morning I want to think and say, what manner of God do we have that even his mercy endures forever, from everlasting to everlasting? Inexhaustible mercy. Can you imagine? And then the question for you is, what does my mercy look like? Does my mercy reflect God's mercy in any way? Is it the same quality? Is it unforgiving, unconditional? What is it? Does my mercy, like God's, we say, Brother Kareem, my mercy can't be perfect. God's perfect in all of his ways. How can I reflect the mercy of God? But in Romans 12 and 2, it says that we should, doesn't it? Doesn't it say, do not be conformed to this world? We know the scripture very well. But be transformed, that's a change, by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we're supposed to reflect that, aren't we? So this morning we're going to meditate on the mercy of God. And I just want to just define mercy for a second so we can understand the qualities of mercy, what's included in this. And by the way, those of you who got your beady eyes on the cake, I know some of you were looking at it. I'm going to explain it. This is going to be a picture of God's mercy, right? Mercy defined, mercy, compassion, or forgiveness. Forgiveness is at the core of mercy, isn't it? At the center, you know? Shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. So you have the authority, if you like, the right to exact punishment on somebody, but you show mercy. It's leniency, it's clemency. We hear that word normally in law. We hear they receive the clemency of the court. Yeah, that's mercy. Compassion, grace, pity, charity, forgiveness. And God is forbearing, isn't he? He has to be. The Bible says he's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, that even when we are dead in sin, hallelujah, by grace, we are saved. So imagine we're dead in sin and God still forgives us. Hallelujah. I think that deserves a hallelujah, don't you? Come on. We should be celebrating that. God, we should be excited with exceeding joy, the Bible says. Yeah, because we have a God that is unlike any other, no other. It's the substance of our humanity. To give the picture of what we're talking about, I'm going to use this parable of Jesus, and no one tells a story like Jesus, we know. And it's Matthew 18, 21 to 35. I'm going to read it. It says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to seven times?'" Wow. Peter says, seven times? That's not... Imagine if God only had seven times to forgive you. All of us would be condemned a long time ago, wouldn't we? We wouldn't be here. Am I right? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." But actually, God's mercy, 70 times seven and then some, isn't it? Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's just using an arbitrary number there to multiply Peter's number by 10 to show him that it wasn't sufficient. And he says, "I do not say to you," well, we read that, "therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But as that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after all he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you, from his heart," important, "does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Hey, hallelujah. So he wanted mercy. He received mercy, but wasn't able to give mercy. Jesus would say, hypocrite. Hypocrite, isn't it? How can you expect something you're not willing to give? And, you know, let's unpack this a little bit. You know, we said about seven times seven. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts. You see in that section here where it says the servant's witness. So sometimes people are watching us, you know, they're witnessing what we're doing. And we can say things with our lips and our hearts can be far removed from God. So we have to be careful how we behave, how we distribute mercy. We can't expect something we don't get. What is it? The quality of forgiveness. I wanted to unpack this a little bit because this is at the core of mercy, isn't it? Forgiveness. And this must be done willingly from the heart, you know. You know, not just something, I forgive you. But I'm carrying that burden still with me all the time. You know, they said mercy is twice blessed. It blesses the giver and the receiver. You've all had mercy on somebody. We've all received mercy. When you give, that's what Jesus says, it's better to give than receive. Giving mercy is a good feeling, isn't it? You feel wonderful. You have the power to punish somebody, whatever it is, or they have the power to punish you, but they withhold that punishment as an act of mercy. A conscious, deliberate decision. What's the next word? Release. Release. You're releasing feelings. In the act of forgiving, You're also relieving that burden. You're laying your burden down. Who wants to carry that yoke around with you? With you, forever? And there are many people we know that carry that burden for years against somebody, someone, something. Yeah? And that destroys you from the inside out. That's why you have to release the feelings of resentment or vengeance. Release it toward a person or group who has harmed or offended you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. That's mercy. You see, if they deserved forgiveness, that would be justice. We have to make a distinction between justice and mercy. Something deserved is just. It's undeserved is mercy. You know, the Bible says that your sacrifices are the sacrifice of God, are a broken heart, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Hallelujah. And what does it mean to be contrite? It's feeling or expressing remorse at the recognition that one has done wrong. Imagine I went to Pastor Dennis and said, Pastor Dennis, I'm really sorry for what I did. And Pastor Dennis said, boy, that's eight. I run out of mercy. No, I can't forgive you. You know, can you imagine? You know, so it's a feeling of or expressing remorse at the recognition that one has done wrong, is remorseful, repentant, penitent, regretful, sorry, rueful, apologetic, ashamed, guilt-ridden. That's a burden, right? And chastened. Can you imagine that someone came to you with expressing all of those things and you said, sorry. No, man, we can't forgive you. Chris is laughing. I can't forgive you. I run out of mercy. You know, and they carry that with them all the time. So some people actually want to hold on to that feeling, as bizarre as that sounds. Some people want to hold on to the feeling of grievance that and carry that with them rather than give mercy. Think on that. I just want you to meditate on that for a second. Contrite. That's why God said he can't refuse. He can't despise you if you're contrite, because that's a genuine feeling from the heart that you're remorseful, you're sorry, you're apologetic. I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me. And we know that God's mercy is anew every morning. New, you know, not reconstituted, not taken from the freezer and given to you, reheated, but brand new. Brand new mercies every morning. Hallelujah. That deserves a hallelujah. Thank you. That's our God. Amen. You know what? Let's open your Bibles, turn to Psalm 136, please. We're going to do something here. Psalm 136, thanksgiving to God for his enduring mercy. Now, the Israelites, the Levites, used to read this or sing this every morning, every day, thinking about the things that God had delivered them from, taken them from, promised them, provided for them. Every day. For thanksgiving. And think about when we've done the list of things that you could make that God has done for you. The moments that when you were sick and he healed you. The moments when you had no money and a check came through the door. Where does that come from? I wasn't expecting that. The moment when some friends came around and said, we just had the feeling that you wanted to talk to somebody. Where does that come from? So just think about the things that God has done. As we read Psalm 136, I'm going to read the first line. I want you as a congregation to repeat what the Israelites would say, which is, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. For his mercy, endures forever. Yes? You get the idea? Second line. Oh, give thanks to God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, to him who alone does great wonders, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, to him who laid out the earth above the waters, to him who made great lights. Come on, some, don't get weary, church. Come on. To him who made great lights. Thank you. The sun to rule by day. The moon and the stars to rule by night. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant. Who remembered us in our lowly state. Hallelujah. And rescued us from our enemies. Who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, King Solomon sung this at the dedication of the temple. Jehoshaphat sung this when he went to the battle. This went before them. They were already thanking God for something before he even did it, because they know his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Amen, church. So, I know you're wondering what this cake is there for. And I want you to imagine this cake is a picture of God's mercy, so that when you consume a slice, you say, I'm eating some of the mercy of God. Yeah. And I want you to look at the ingredients, and we're going to qualify those ingredients, and what do they mean? What do they stand for? So let's start with the flour. The flour represents the love of God, because it stabilizes the cake, gives it substance and form, a source of strength, because God is our rock, isn't he? The Bible says, the strong tower, the righteous run to him, and our what? Amen. Wheat is a sign of charity and love. The field the wheat grows in is representative of the church. Wheat is also seen as a symbol of those who believe in Christ. What about the butter? The butter gives us a light texture, represents the radiance of God and the provision of God. In Job 29:6, it says, when I wash my feet with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. Hallelujah. That's the provision of God. Amen. Job's confidence was in the divine protection of God. Job's delight was in the divine favor of God. Job's communion was with the divine word of God. And his assurance was in the divine presence of God in his household. Amen. What about the sugar? Grace. The Bible says gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Hallelujah. That's Proverbs 16 and verse 24. The eggs, we know the eggs is a binding agent. Yeah? It draws everything together and seals it in. It's like forgiveness. You know, rather than chase us away when we sin, God wants to draw you closer. Daniel says in chapter 9, verse 9, says, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. Yeah? Even though we rebelled, God still doesn't cast you off, doesn't throw you away. He says, come, come, come. Like the parable of the prodigal son, he says, come, come. My arms are open. The door is open, never closed. Hallelujah. What a God we have. And a dash of salt is the flavor. This is, you are the salt of the earth. Amen. And the vanilla represents the essence of God. We all have some of the essence of God, because we are made in his image and after his likeness. So we have some of the essence of God. Amen. And there's one secret ingredient. Well, it's kind of an oxymoron because it's not an agreement because it's actually left out. It was God's amnesia. He chooses to be an amnesiac. What do I mean by that? I mean, he doesn't record your transgressions. You know, that's why David said, if you, God, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Think of that a minute. If you, God, should mark iniquities, who could stand? None of us. Amen. That's the God that we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does man's mercy to man look like when we are acting in accordance with God's commandments to love our neighbors, ourselves? I want to talk about this gentleman. Maybe you have heard of him or not. This is Saint Maurice. His name is Mauritius in the Latin. He's a Roman general from Thebes in Egypt. And his legion, a legion is 6,000, by the way, at minimum. Can be more depending on the rank of the general. 6,000 Christian Africans in the Roman army ordered to what is today Switzerland to put down a rebellion of Christians. Of course, all of that legion are Christians, including the leader, Mauritius. So the Emperor Maximian says, irony, isn't it? Send some Christians to kill Christians. Put down that rebellion and make an example of them. Now, this is like, for us, we're going to get tested with, you know, do we obey God or man? So do I put down this Christian, but I can't do such a wicked thing? These are my brothers. So they refuse to kill these men. And of course, what happens? The legion is decimated. You know what decimated is? Latin is decima, which is 10. So every 10th man is murdered, martyred. The legion is 6,000. That's 600 men by my maths. I'm sure Tunde will correct me and the rest of the other experts in here. But yeah, 600 men martyred. And then, of course, they kill Mauritius also. That's because he didn't obey the emperor, Maximin, because it was calling to God was greater than to that of the emperor. Now, the question is, would you show mercy if it cost you your life? Would you show mercy? That's an ultimate sacrifice, isn't it? Decimated. That's where this term comes from. And of course, we see that God himself, God's mercy to man, we know in John 3 and 16, the ultimate sacrifice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves you. Wow. Just meditate on that for a second. In fact, let's just meditate on mercy for a moment and think about the list of things that we've been saved from. Some of the things we never experienced, we don't even know, obviously, that God has saved us from. We know the things that we came out of, we rescued from. What about the things that we never experience? Only because of God's mercy. Prevented it from happening. Influence your decision making. Don't go there today. You thought that was you. But you're listening to the Spirit. You see. I thought about the other, when we were in a life group and I was speaking to Brother Milton and Jenny and Jean, and we were talking about this subject. And I said, you know, how did we even make it through without Jesus in the days when we were in the wilderness? And I said to myself, you know, actually, we weren't, because I may be without Jesus, but Jesus was with me all the time, because he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should bear fruit. Hallelujah. And your fruit should remain. Hallelujah. That whatever you ask for in my name, it will be provided for you. I mean, isn't that beautiful? So we didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose us. Before the foundation of the world, he said we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Hallelujah. So when you put this all together, you see the picture of God's mercy. I want you to take away these points with you. First of all, our mercy towards others should mirror the perfect mercy of God's church. We should mirror that. That means we should reflect the same mercy that God shows us to each other. It should be underpinned by love. So we should be willing. We should want to have mercy, not be compelled to do it because someone's watching or, you know, someone might hear. Or we want to. It's coming from the heart, right? Yeah. Forgiveness from the heart, like it said in the scripture, you know. You should forgive it from the heart. It has to come from the heart. Meaningful, in other words. It should be compassionate. Compassion, that we should have empathy for someone who, you don't know what made someone wrong you. There may be many reasons for that, but we should have compassion. We say, don't worry, it's okay. I understand. These things happen. I've been there before, etc. Compassion. Comforting. Comfort them. Same thing. Healing for both. Healing for me, because I don't want to carry that burden of resentment and, you know, and vengefulness. Healing and unconditional. Hallelujah. Although we know that Jesus said to the woman, the adulteress, said, you know, where are your accusers now? But he did say, go and sin no more. So we don't want to necessarily repeat that. Hallelujah. So this, just quoting from Matthew 5 and 7, says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain, or they will receive mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I just want to pray this morning and just say to God to provide us all with the willingness to show mercy to others from our heart, oh God. Because we never know when we will have to receive mercy. And let's not be like the hypocrites who say things with their lips and with their mouth, but do not act on those things, God. And one of my favorite scriptures, you know, thinking about God and how he's able to keep us from stumbling, is Jude 24:25. You know, to him who is able to keep us from stumbling, to present us perfect before the presence of his glory. With what? Exceeding joy. Hallelujah. To God our Savior, who alone is wise. Glory and majesty, dominion and power of now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church, this morning.